We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hey now, Semper Fi, welcome into this Tuesday edition. What's going on? Mark Menard at Master Control, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick here till 7 o'clock tonight, till LSU takes over. LSU men's basketball in action tonight in the PMAC against Vanderbilt. Tip off at 7:30. Pregame coverage starts at 7 p.m. 504-260-1870. That's how you join the party, via text or on the phone lines. Again, at 504-260-1870. Bobby, it's looking more and more likely that the 17-game NFL schedule is going to happen as early as perhaps this fall. Are you for or against a 17-game schedule? I've heard very few arguments against it, especially for football junkies here in the South that crave it and could probably take an 18- or 20-game schedule.
Well, the players might be against it, but if they compensate it, I don't think you should be against it. But more meaningful football as a fan, why wouldn't you want a game that counts? You want entertainment value. Christian, I even said this. I don't care if it's Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, whoever's that quarterback, even without Drew Brees, we're looking into the future now, that if you're playing 17 games, the Saints, to me, are still a playoff team. And what I mean by that, how can you get the double-digit wins? I mean, is that kind of watered down? You look at 10-7 versus 10-6. To me, it's not. Anytime you get the double-digit wins, considering that you would add a game that counted. And the one thing that's going to come about with the 17-game schedule, Christian, I'd save this. And if you look at it, that the 17 game, if it does occur in 2021 for the Saints, would be against an AFC team that's based on divisional standings from the 2020 season. So that additional game would be out of conference, but it'd be meaningful football that I think the Saints fans would embrace. Now, does that mean, though, your season it have to go up? Or how do they alternate the home and away schedule?
Not determined yet, because, you know, you're going to have odd number of games.
I heard they might be playing. Would be very attractive if you did that at a neutral site. And what I mean, it could be international.
Mexico City, London.
Toronto. Different avenues. There's a lot to play there.
Japan.
But Tokyo, I don't know the travel. You'd have to figure that all out. But I think as a fan, why wouldn't you want more games that count? If you're paying full value for a preseason game, that's garbage. We try to eliminate the preseason. I mean, you want to see the star players playing, not necessarily, oh, they're going to play for a quarter. Or even if, you know, when they had four preseason games, oh, go to the third one. Because you might see the starters playing two and a half quarters. What about a whole game? So I think the fans are all for less preseason and more meaningful games. Now, the players, they could argue how does it prolong my career, but how does it put a damper on it? But to me, if you're getting compensated – now, this is totally wrong if the NFL owners would say we're going to prorate it where we're going to pay you you're going to play 17 regular season games and we're still going to pay you basically a 16-game schedule. No, it'd have to be a regular game check if you're going to add a meaningful game with that 17 game. And the reason why I say that, because you look at the revenue and how the owners charge the fans preseason versus regular season. Now, it varies depending on the opponent city to city. But still, listen, I think we passed exhibition. And it showed during the COVID offseason how well the team can come together. Didn't we watch quality football this year, even though they didn't have OTAs and minicamp? And then, training camp was somewhat normal. Now, the media, we wasn't as involved. We had an opportunity to be part of the 14 practices, but not a full training camp. But hey, the bottom line is the fans could care less realistically. I mean, how they're practicing in the offseason. They want more meaningful games to be entertained.
Tulane head football coach Willie Fritz at 5'10". LSU head football coach Ed Orgeron at 6'10". Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. And also still to come, a big win for the Pelicans last night. Huge win up and down the streaky Pelicans. But also, will there be a market for Jameis Winston? What will that market be? The Saints have said that they want to try to keep him. Will they be able to? We'll explore all of that coming up here on Sports Talk. We're just getting started here on WWL. Right to our phones we go. Bill and Metairie, what's going on, Bill? You're on WWL.
Hey, commenting on the 17th game, I read something on a great site, Football Morning in America, yesterday, that the 17th game in all likelihood would happen. It'd be the AFC South and the NFC South, so the Saints would play Tennessee. And under this format, the AFC will host the 17th game in 2021. The NFC will host it in 2022 with the hope of taking them all international in 2023. So just a tidbit of information.
That's great. That's great information, Bill, because how you spread the wealth or spread the game internationally, like you said, it's a process. And that would make sense, NFC South, AFC South. Boy, that's a tough 17 game, though, the Titans. You know, when we beat Tennessee, remember, Bill, at Tennessee with the 2019 season, Derrick Henry didn't play that game. But we have one of the best run defenses, so that'd be a big challenge for us.
Yeah, I was excited because my boys live in Nashville, so I figured it'd be 8 years before I saw that again, and it might only be 8 or 9 months away. But I think it's a great thing. The more product, the better, and the more product that counts, the better.
Yeah, Bill, don't you take that approach as a fan? If you don't mind paying going to the games, but it just you know. If you have preseason tickets sometimes, and you might be a season ticket holder, but you know what? I'm going to give my tickets away. Or I might have family members or friends. But you want to see more meaningful games, then you want to be in that number.
Yeah, no, it's like discount. You don't want to you want to see the big product. You don't want to go buy something on a discount. That's what preseason football is. It's just discount football.
Well, thanks for the call, Bill. There's a lot of information. Thank you.
Bobby, I know the Saints have said, Sean Payton has said publicly that they want to keep Jameis Winston. But I wonder, as you get closer to the league year starting in about 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tomorrow to be exact.
So Jameis Winston versus who? Because if you would say in theory, now I'm not talking about the salary cap or anything. You would never take Jameis Winston over Russell Wilson.
No.
Yeah.
But we know the Saints are going to be tight on cash.
Right.
Okay. So are you concerned that somebody could price the Saints out of the market?
As far as Jameis Winston, but how? You're going to pay Jameis Winston on his potential when he didn't really even play last year?
Sure, but he also was the former number one overall pick and threw 5,000 yards the year before.
Okay, would you pay him more the likes of incentive-laying contract more like we did with Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah.
Like $7.5 million?
I think the market could be incentives. Yeah.
And then if you really play well, we could reward you and compensate you the 2022 season? Because I don't think there's going to be no better place than New Orleans for Jameis Winston right now, where he's at in his career. He's familiar now with the offense. He can grow with that. But it all depends. Now, what direction and the Houdat Nation and Christian, everyone can comment. Would you rather go with Jameis Winston or maybe a first-round draft pick at the quarterback position?
Like
now,
who?
Who's the number one guy, Matt Jones, out of Alabama?
Who you want? He's going to be gone.
No, I'm just saying, in theory, if he was there, 28th pick, because, yeah, right now they are maybe going to Carolina at 8th and not being available. And what's really interesting, that Matt Jones is now being described by a number of draft gurus. You hear Tom Brady like, and then you know what to me is more likely? You know who he reminds me of? Matt Ryan. Okay, you might say Matt Ryan, the Falcons. What have they won? Christian, he was MVP in the league, and look at that choke job that Atlanta had. But a lot of it wasn't so much what Matt Ryan was doing. He put him in position to win that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So if Matt Jones turns into Matt Ryan, I guarantee you, if Sean Payton can look in the crystal ball, would know that, they would somehow want Matt Jones. And now you, how you move up and all, because he's not going to last to the latter part of the first round. I truly believe his stock, considering how well he did at the Senior Bowl and all that, that he's one of those guys under the radar that helped his position, and it could be picked way before the Saints have an opportunity to take him.
Listen, I think he could be a guy that once pro days happen and what the season, the body of work that he put together, he could have a meteoric rise. Early before the season started, he was projected to go in rounds 2 or 3, and then he goes off and has the season he does. He's going to be. I think he's going to be a top 15 pick.
Well, Christian, when you look at it, you might say, "Well, he's Alabama quarterback, and look at the great receivers he's throwing to, great supporting cast." But still, great supporting cast. This is unbelievable. 41 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions. Talking about protecting the football, I can tell you right now, Matt Jones is better than Tua. A lot of NFL scouts think, now, how do you game transition going from college to the NFL? Matt Jones, they more think of him. Right now, if you had a choice between Tua and Matt Jones, they would lean more towards Matt Jones as leading their team than Tua.
I don't think I could disagree with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of people who, that's their job day in and day out, looking and grading all these quarterbacks in football.
There's definitely, I think, some buyer's remorse in Miami from on Tua Tagovailoa. All right, Mac Jones, again, it's about transition, and the naysayers are going to say, name me an Alabama quarterback that's had success at the pro level.
Well,
not
you got to go
Joe
way
Namath.
Back. You got to go way back. Oh, they had him. Come on, not name Joe Namath. You had Bart Starr, yeah. Kenny Stabler. You
got to
be old. You got to old people.
In the last decade and a half, tell me an Alabama quarterback that's had any success.
McElroyan? Oh, no, I don't think so. No, they haven't had him.
So there's. I wonder how much trepidation there's going to be about Mac Jones there, having argued that basically he's a product of the system at Alabama. And he's playing with the best of the best week in and week out
like
at every position.
The Patriots, Bill Belichick. I think he'd be Bill Belichick would be more impressed with a Matt Jones than he was with the Eastern Illinois Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy G.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Jimmy G. Oh, he plug and play, won a few games, and stay healthy with the 49ers.
What's crazy is Jimmy G could end up going back to New England.
Yeah, he could go back, but I think Matt Jones would be even a better prospect than Jimmy G going forward.
All right, so who would you in Bobby's perfect world scenario? Would you want Jameis Winston
or Matt Jones
or Mac Jones or Taysom Hill? 504-260-1870. Why is Taysom Hill all of a sudden starting to get left out of this conversation?
Well, because he's a football player, not necessarily the fans or just football people view him as the guy game in and game out for a whole season. He gets sacked too much for his ability. So to me, that's anticipation.
Holding the ball.
And not knowing the checkdowns at all. And now, the plays he can make is kind of like a roller coaster. Now, protecting the football, that could come about if you're getting the ball out of your hands and not fumbling. But I like Taysom Hill as a football player. I don't want Matt Jones and Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. Not Matt Jones and Jameis Winston.
Right.
No, I want
a combo of some kind with Taysom.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that would. I'd be okay with that. I think you're going to see that whether it's Jameis or any other quarterback, whether they draft a rookie and he ends up, say Jameis gets priced out, right? He goes to another team. The Saints draft a quarterback. Maybe it's Mac Jones. And it could be a combination of both of them. I think Taysom Hill is very much in the future plans for the Saints, one way or the other.
When you say Jameis Winston priced himself out, what do you think realistically another team would offer Jameis Winston? I know supply and demand is not enough quarterbacks.
Right.
See, I don't see any team giving Jameis Winston right now $20 million like Carolina gave Teddy Bridgewater, that type of deal. I think it'd be more like a Taysom Hill type deal. Well, it would be more than Teddy Bridgewater had $7.5 million around there, but it'd be more incentive laden and more like a Taysom Hill deal short term, and then compensate him if he really excels.
If you're a team in the NFC in particular, the NFC South, and have some extra cash laying around, don't you hurt the Saints by signing him as a backup and even be willing to overpay for him just because that makes it the transition harder for New Orleans?
Yeah, that it's going to be at the Saints' price if Jameis Winston's the quarterback of the future. And I think the fans would accept that. And I think he should. Maybe his representative needs to accept that. Wouldn't you want to be on a winning team to have a chance to be in the postseason and ultimately got a great supporting cast versus I'm getting a few more million and I'm going with a team that doesn't really have a chance?
Well, you already experienced that in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Patrick in Gulfport. What's going on, Patrick? You're on WWL.
How much? How y'all doing?
Good, thank
hey,
you.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, my buddy Ted out of Slidell told me to say hello the next time I speak to y'all. Give a shout-out to Ted in Slidell.
All right.
Hey, as far as the quarterback situation you're talking about, so I'd have a question there kind of going into that. So if the Saints were to pick that guy up that y'all are talking about coming out of Alabama, somehow he happened to be available when the Saints came around and had that pick, and Drew Brees is no longer with the Saints, do you have the confidence that him playing behind Jameis Winston is the mentorship that he would need to develop into the face of the franchise and the future quarterback for the Saints going forward? Would be my question and concern with that. Or do you think the guy's good enough that he can come out and start?
Mac Jones talking about?
Yeah.
Bobby, I defer to you on if he would be able to translate right away in the NFL. You played the position.
Well, I mean, look at now. Quarterbacks are way more developed back, like, I mean, I don't know, 20 years, 30
seven
years.
Seven on seven.
Yeah, and all that. I mean, just look at Joe Burrow. I mean, he didn't even get a chance to play at Ohio State, and then he kind of got wet and behind the air, so to speak, and what he did at LSU, and the Bengals threw him out there. You don't really sit. Now, Tua was given an opportunity. I think no matter how talented you are, if you look at what Patrick Mahomes or what happened in the Chiefs, I think that was the best thing for him. Now, you want to win, and the Chiefs won with Alex Smith, but they knew that wasn't the future. And then all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes. In theory, you'd want, not just throw him to the Wolves and just make it work. But then,
to the Wolves?
Yeah, but then he got a great supporting cast. I mean, you have to look at the Saints and how it's way better. Look at Joe Burrow, his supporting cast of the Bengals.
That's why he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, so that it would be – because Sean Payton would know if Mac Jones, if he's ready to play. You know, and then hopefully we can have some semblance of, like, OTAs and mini camp going into training camp, and you're not just going straight to training camp. You know, when you're trying to
– Jameis needs that in particular, so does a young signal caller.
Right. I think it would benefit both of them if that was the process.
Patrick, thanks for the phone call. We will step away and come back. Who do you want? Is it Jameis? Is it Taysom? A young rookie as the future for the Saints? Because Jameis might get a contract offer that the Saints can't compete with price-wise. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. I see you, Justin and Chalmette. Sit tight coming to you. Bobby, what tickles your fancy on the text line, man?
Well, this is from, 0803. Hey, Hebert, I thought Taysom Hill was the next Steve Young. Is that not the truth any longer? I mean, did Sean, because you were telling me Sean Payton made that statement.
He compared some of his ability to Steve Young.
Okay,
what he was trying to do was also relate to the mobility of or relay the mobility that Taysom Hill has.
Well, that's just one phase of playing quarterback. Taysom Hill definitely could play on Steve Young's level as far as the mobility. But a number of other areas, you'd have to say, what Steve Young, he has one of the highest QB ratings in the history of the National Football League. He's a Hall of Famer. Now, with that being said, these are Steve Young-type numbers. You know, Taysom Hill went 3-1. He completed nearly 72% of his passes. That's outstanding. 97 passer rating, outstanding. Counted for 8 total touchdowns. So you don't look at just touchdown passes, but if he's running for a touchdown, to me, a guy like Taysom Hill, you always have to take that into account. But this is when it's different than Steve Young. If you look at it in his 4 starts, I guarantee you Steve Young never got sacked on this level. Because, you know, mobile, Steve Young's mobile, Taysom Hill's mobile. Taysom got sacked 13 times in 4 starts. 13 sacks in 4 starts. It's not like, we got the Bengals offensive line. No. We got an offensive line that is amongst the best in the National Football League. And then, you look, for instance, if you say, look at Taysom and how the process, how it triggers in your brain, how you got to get rid of the ball. Taysom taking 13 sacks in 4 starts. In comparison to Drew Brees, he took 13 sacks in 12 regular season games. Okay, now think about that.
Yeah.
4 to 12, sacked the same amount of time. And then you look at the ball security, fumbling 6 times, and he lost 3 of them and all that, and the couple of interceptions. To me, it's all about that trigger and anticipating throws and not getting rid of the football and getting sacked. Taysom Hill is way too good, way too athletic to be sacked 13 times in his 4 starts.
Bobby, the 2 games that I think eventually came back and bit the Saints this past season, the Green Bay loss and
the Eagles. Oh, without a doubt.
And Taysom Hill was the quarterback against the Eagles.
And then you look what occurred, I'm not trying to just point at one play because you can always look at a handful of plays whether you win or lose, and 2 of them we lost because we fumbled. What happened all of a sudden looks like we stopped Green Bay on 4th down. We got the momentum. Who fumbled? Taysom Hill fumbled. Oh, look at the playoff game. Oh, well, it looks like we're going to be it's a dogfight. We're going back and forth. Jared Cook fumbles. You got to protect that football. And that was the 2 games. If you look at what occurred in that playoff game and then against Green Bay, fumbles hindered us. Now, in the Eagles game, I was really disappointed in our defense overall. Jalen Hurts, we made Jalen Hurts look like an all-star.
Made him look like Steve Young.
Yeah, about getting out the pocket. We did not contain that game. So that was one egg that I think we laid defensively that I was disappointed in on the season. Was against the Eagles.
Justin and Shell, Matt, what's going on? Justin, you're on WWL.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Justin.
Hey, I've watched pretty much every minute of every Sean Payton game since he's been here. And, there's only one reason only why we haven't had why we don't have 3 Super Bowls right now. And it's because Sean Payton doesn't know how to run the ball. Okay. We're 78-2 when he runs the ball over 25 times in a game, 78-2. He's coached here about 400 games. Okay. So he only ran the ball over 25 times, not even a quarter of the time he's been here. The Buccaneers game, the Bucs, Tom Brady didn't win the Super Bowl for the Bucs. The Cover 2 won the Tampa Bay Bucs Super Bowl. Okay, no one knows how to beat Cover 2. The only thing that can beat Cover 2 is to run it right at the gut.
You got to run. You have to run. When you not don't, because you play Cover 2, you cannot have a safety in the box. You know, you play right in the 2 deep, you have the corners, they rolled up. You got to, no, in theory, Justin, when teams are playing a Cover 2 and they don't have that extra man, and then you could do check with me in the huddle, whether you're looking at the run support, is that's a running play. That's a running audible. So I'm not disagreeing with you at times because, to me, if a team's going to have utmost success with a Cover 2 concept, look at the Chiefs. You got Patrick Mahomes and all the weapons and all. But what was, to me, the Achilles heel of the Chiefs this year, they didn't run the ball enough. Now, you might say with the offensive line, they were playing with all these backups, and Tampa Bay was confident that we don't need an extra defender in the box because we're going to whoop you. Our D-line versus your O-line. But in theory, that when you're playing Cover 2, shame on you if you can't run the ball.
Yep. And you know what? We could have kneeled the ball the whole game and won that playoff game against the Bucs because the only point they scored was giving them a short field. We could have ran the ball the whole game, and we would have killed them. You know what I mean?
Well, the bottom line is especially when you get in the postseason, then you win or lose. You might want to be entertained. The networks, they want to shoot out 30-something to 30-something. But as fans, they no such thing as an ugly win. I mean, however it takes to win. Now, would Drew Brees be patient enough to have that type of game? And the one thing that hindered us, you have to agree with this, Justin, and that as talented as Alvin Kamara is, not having Latavius Murray and Taysom Hill for that game, mm-hmm. it had to hinder us in the play calling. Would you agree with that?
And Mike Thomas wasn't healthy.
Yeah.
Oh, it hindered in the play calling, but that still doesn't mean that we should have just went out there and passed every play. I mean, I don't blame Drew Brees at all for anything. I mean, this is the smartest man in the NFL, hands down. He works harder than anybody.
I agree.
He knows where to go with the ball every time. And if you're Sean Payton and you see you're getting torn up by a covered two, a Tampa two, the classic Tampa two, and you don't know what to do against that, shame on you. You deserve all the blame for that loss.
Well, Justin, that's you know? Why you have to challenge the offensive line. Listen, they're playing a pass defense, and that they're bending but don't break. That it might, I'm not saying 3 yards in a cloud of dust. How about 4 yards, 4.5 yards in a cloud of dust? You know what that means? You keep moving the chains, and you're controlling the time of possession, and Tom Brady's on the sideline.
Let's not forget, though, in that second matchup against the Buccaneers in the regular season, the Saints – had their way with Tampa in the second.
The worst loss Tom Brady has ever faced, 38-3. They kicked the field goal so they wouldn't get shut out. Think how humbling that is.
Don't get me started on that. you saw how angry I was about that, because that, in essence, was today's
was
modern version. That was modern version of shutout football.
Without a doubt. But you know what? You want to be peaking come December, January, and I was always worried. I remember I was talking with Mike to tell you about this, that, boy, look where Tampa Bay has that bye.
Mm-hmm.
And they were 7-5. They were 7-5. And how that bye, and they kind of regrouped and all that. Then they went on the run and won 8 games in a row.
I'm swallowing it. I'm just being honest. Justin, thanks for the phone call. We'll step away and come back. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Before I get to the text line, Bobby, a little while ago, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, tweeted out, the Saints have had trade discussions, according to his sources, about trading defensive tackle Malcolm Brown. That would ultimately, it's in his final year of his 3-year contract he signed a couple of seasons ago, that would ultimately save the Saints about $5 million and of cap space, and perhaps you can get some capital for them. They need draft picks.
Well,
he could certainly fetch you a couple.
Let me tell you, Malcolm Brown has been outstanding in a Saints uniform. You know, we got him from the Patriots, and, you know, we were one of the best run defenses. It wasn't as good as Tampa Bay, but we were right up there in the conversation. I mean, what are you giving up, average per carry, total yards, and all that? And when Malcolm Brown was in the rotation with David Onyemata and all that, nothing against other guys in rotation, but Malcolm Brown was that much of a difference maker. We were a whole lot better against the run when he was playing. So there's value there, and other teams know that.
Yeah, and look, I'm sure in a perfect world they'd love to keep him. If they were under the cap, they wouldn't be entertaining this. But it's a good way to move $5 million and get something in return, because you're probably not going to be able to sign him or re-sign him or extend him.
He's
an interior defensive lineman, and they've got David Onyemata there as well.
So you think Sheldon Rankins, he's gone pecan, kind of? I mean,
I got to check with a few folks on
that. With Sheldon, because Shy Tuttle and all that. And when you look at Sheldon, I mean, you know, with Rankins and what he was doing, he was hell when he's well. That's unbelievable that you got to give him a lot of credit that he's able to rehab. Think about this as a normal human being. Oh, I tore my Achilles. Man, that's messed up. You might not never run the same. Then you rehab that, and you tore your other damn Achilles. So just the way your body breaks down going forward, what you're going to invest in a guy like Sheldon Rankins, you got two torn Achilles. I don't know enough about modern medicine. It could be like they're brand new, but it just, I don't know, it sounds bad. It looks bad. I got two torn Achilles tendons, and I got to be stout in the middle and be able to get vertical and disrupt the quarterback, handle double teams and all that. It's just a bad look. And not that it gets Sheldon, because he's worked his behind off.
Right.
But I would say with Malcolm Brown being added to the mix with Sheldon Rankins and David Onyemata in that rotation. Now you need Shy Tuttle, young guys like that to step up. But Malcolm Brown, a lot of teams are attracted to him, because the first thing what you want to do, even though it's a pass-happy league, they still want to be able to stop the run on first down. They don't want it to be like 2nd and 6. They like it a lot when it's 2nd and 9 going forward, and Malcolm Brown is a big part of that with the Saints.
He's also a big reason why is DeMario Davis is having the years
without a doubt. Without a doubt. DeMario Davis, if it'd be up to him and Salah is coming to play,
yeah,
DeMario Davis would be like, man, I want Malcolm Brown on my team every day, day in and day out.
He does the heavy lifting in the running game. He keeps the linemen off linebackers. And
right.
Sheldon Rankins and David Onyemata, they're good against the run, but that's his forte. That's Malcolm Brown's forte, where Rankins and Onyemata, they can get you, they can hold their own in a running game, but they can give you some interior pass rush.
Sack here and there, and quarterback pressure and all that. But there's still room for those type of players, space eaters. You know who's the ultimate space eater in the NFC South? And he went there at the beginning of the season. That's a big part. Tampa Bay was even better defensively. Vita Vey. Mm-hmm. I forgot what he hurt. He hurt.
It was lower ankle.
Whatever he had, he was out a long time. But when he came back, he was hell when he was well. And you know who appreciated having him alongside? Ndamukong Suh. And then those linebackers, Levante David, Devin White. They go, what? Give me Vita Vey every day.
Keep those big guys off me. Let me go run.
Right.
Because those cats can run. Going back to a conversation we were having about Jameis Winston potentially being priced out of the Saints market on the free agent open market. Text here says, keep an eye on the Falcons to sign Winston. Terry Fontenot brought him to New Orleans, and recently Fontenot said he would bring in quarterbacks this offseason. This texter is right on the money. I would not be surprised at all if it is a team like the Falcons in the NFC South. Well, let's face it. Yeah, everybody is happy. The Saints are happy for Terry Fontenot to get that opportunity. But there's not going to be favors returned there. Business is business. If they feel like they can hurt the Saints by taking Jameis Winston away at a price that they can afford, maybe even overpay for a little bit because they might have better salary cap space, then they do that because it causes New Orleans a little bit more problems trying to transition.
Well, Jameis Winston's going to go to Atlanta and be the starting quarterback? I can tell you right now, I would take that in a heartbeat. Jameis Winston's not going to sit back and be the backup for two straight years, but if that would happen, and Jameis Winston's the starter for the Falcons, give me Matt Ryan any day. Sean Payton and Matt Ryan, Christian, we back in the hunt for the Super Bowl, not just making the playoffs. Matt Ryan was an MVP, and under Sean Payton's scheme, and still what he did, when the Falcons haven't won, the Falcons, when they haven't won because their defense, it ain't because of Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan and the Sean Payton offense would be outstanding. So if you could tell me right now, let's ship Jameis Winston to Atlanta, we get Matt Ryan, it's not even 99.9. It's 100% done deal.
Well, I don't want to rate on your parade, but they can't trade him because he's not under contract.
Well, but I'm saying if you work out a trade or whatever, wheel and deal, but if you can just mix that. Jameis go to Atlanta, we get Matt Ryan and the Sean Payton, we in the hunt.
Bobby's up here playing Madden with the fair trade clause
toggle off.
Phone lines are open at 504-260-187.
Now, Christian, look at this text. Now, I would not take this. This is from 2992. Would you take Mitchell Trubisky if Winston signed with Chicago? Hell no. Mitchell Trubisky, no. He's end up being a journeyman. You know who's on the market right now as a free agent quarterback? I'd like to see him with Sean Payton. Plug and play maybe for a month. I don't know, about 16 games. I would love him to be my backup. He's the number one backup. The reason why the Dolphins had a chance. Fitzmagic. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oh, my God.
He's also Fitz tragic sometimes.
But listen, then you take him out of the game. But almost, he might go on a four-game streak as good as anybody in the NFL. They beat the Raiders, Tua was sucking. The only reason why they had a chance for the playoffs, if I'm the Dolphins, somehow I'm trying to figure out how I could get Deshaun Watson, whatever. Because they have a team that can contend with the Bills, but they need that trigger man. But Fitzpatrick... I would take Ryan Fitzpatrick over Trubisky. And I'm telling you, Jameis Winston has more upside, but Ryan Fitzpatrick,
he's proven steady.
As part of your quarterback room, the Harvard man, I mean, come on.
He maxed out his, what's the test they take? The test they take, the Wonderlic. He maxed it out.
Oh, that's not surprising. You probably didn't miss a question.
No, he did not.
No, he didn't. No, that's.
I've always been a fan of Fitzpatrick. I think he's a notch below Alex Smith. You can win some games with him. You're probably not going to win the Super Bowl. You may go to the playoffs with the right supporting cast.
Right, right. And when you talk about plug and play, how Teddy Bridgewater had success, how Taysom Hill had success, Ryan Fitzpatrick could do the same thing in a Saints uniform. That's the guy still worth a few million if he's your backup. Ryan Fitzpatrick is still not an old man, if you consider how he's produced and given the opportunity. Well, remember, what was that, Christian? I want to say, was it 18 or 19? We played Tampa Bay to open the season. We put Ryan Fitzpatrick in the Hall of Fame.
He torched that second game.
I wish Jameis Winston would have played that game. Ryan Fitzpatrick was unbelievable. Remember when they burned us?
What,
they
threw over 400 yards.
They might have scored 40 points or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember. It's like, what? That was Fitzmagic. I mean, I still think every team, I'm not saying starter for 16 games, every team would want Ryan Fitzpatrick to be on their roster. I know the Dolphins were glad to have him last year because they had a chance because of him.
A texter writes, you should block that text. Mitch Trubisky? We can't block text, but I get it. All right, stepping away, coming back, Tulane head football coach Willie Fritz next hour. LSU head football coach Ed Ogeron at 6:10. Greg and Saints Tony coming to you as well. This is Sports Talk here on WWL AMFMN.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.